the unsuspecting believer. These questions are all addressed in the tape set, The Image of the Beast. The Image of the Beast tape set is $17.95 post-pay. To receive your copy, send $17.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530.
Free speech, more than just words. This is WCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA.
By popular request, the entire theme played until the very end. Well, good evening. It's Off the Hook. Back live. Well, I'm back live here in the studio. I'm Emmanuel Goldstein, joined over there by Mike.
Hi.
And you were back live last week.
Well, I was alive every time I've been on the show.
Alive, live.
In the studio as opposed to being in Berlin like we were recently.
You could be live from Berlin.
That's true. And Kevin is not on the other side of the room. I got that wrong. Sorry. On the other side of the room is not Kevin.
Yeah, hello.
It means the same thing.
More or less.
All right. How are you not Kevin?
Well.
Good. And down there in Philadelphia, Bernie S.
I'm almost live, so delayed by about half a second by GPS. You started almost a whole minute early this morning, just today.
Yeah, you know, and the reason for that, I tried to play a promotional cart, as we have here in the studio, and it says very clearly that it's position two on the board, and I was looking for position two, and it didn't come up, and I now know that. So, for future reference, I will do the exact opposite of what is labeled on the board.
So, we got to hear the whole song, so that's good.
There's some good that came out of this tragedy.
Yeah.
Some good. Okay, we have all kinds of good and bad things to talk about tonight, and a couple of adventures to embark upon as well. For those tuning in for the first time, and at the end of the year, I know people get radios for the first time and start testing them out and finding stations. You found the only show about hackers that's on New York radio, and in fact, it's on radio in the States, I think. Do we know of any other hacker shows that are on actual FM radio?
I don't know of any, but there might be some.
If there are some out there, we'd like to know about them so we can help you guys get the word out. Everybody can do internet radio, that's true, and that's something, but we've said about broadcasting on a tower, and we broadcast off the Empire State Building, so that's quite a tower right there.
And on shortwave.
And on shortwave, too. We're simulcasting, I believe. What frequency can we be found on?
7.415 megahertz, and it really is 50,000 watts effective radiated power from the state of Maine, broadcast in a southwesterly direction. So basically, most of the continental U.S. can pick that up on a reasonable shortwave radio, which can cost $50 or more.
All right. Well, we like to hear from those people who listen to us on shortwave, actually. In fact, send us email, oth@2600.com. Let's see how that 50,000-watt radio station really reaches the Western Hemisphere. And for those of you listening on lowly WBAI, broadcasting from the top of the Empire State Building into four different states, well, you can call in later, too, or write to us, oth@2600.com. We'd like to hear from you as well.
All right. We
a bunch of different stories that are pretty interesting, I think. This involving hackers. The headline was Hackers Forced Pennsylvania to Shut State Website. Yeah, that's right. Hackers have infiltrated Pennsylvania's government website. They did this on Friday, forcing administrators to shut down nearly the entire site for several hours. Hackers broke into the pages, break into web pages, of the Departments of Labor and Industry, Education, and Military and Veteran Affairs. I'm not sure where that breaks up exactly. There's a lot of ands in there. But various departments, Labor, Industry, Education, Military, Veterans Affairs, as well as the Pennsylvania Lottery. Well, I could have had a lot of fun with that. Well, breaking into the lottery. Imagine that you're pronouncing the wrong numbers. Well, such a fun you could have. They say state information technology officers also learned on Friday that four other schools and a university had been attacked in a similar manner. It wasn't immediately clear which other state websites were attacked. I don't know why it wasn't clear. Maybe they couldn't figure it out themselves. A message left at the Multi-State Information Sharing and Analysis Center.
What?
Yeah. Seeking comments was not immediately returned, probably because they'd forgotten that they even exist. No one's been in that room for years. Investigators tracked the source of the attack to a domain registered in China. Yeah. They say that a hacker got into what they call a back door, and they say it was more than we needed to take down those sites to make sure a virus couldn't spread. They also say it is not unusual for the state's computer system to be the target of hackers, but having problems at four separate branches of state government prompted the decision to take down nearly the entire system. This story is pretty wacky as far as I'm concerned, because, well, first of all, simply breaking into a site or taking advantage of security has nothing to do with hackers. Anybody could have done this. A machine could have done this. It could have been done automatically. But somehow hackers get demonized yet again as sitting around and figuring out
four separate branches.
Yes.
Yeah, but
the latest, I didn't know that those were actual branches. It might be like twigs of the government, but they're not four separate branches of state government. You've got the, just like the federal government, you've got the legislative branch, the judicial branch, and the executive branch. Well, none of those were apparently affected.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably all under one. I don't know, labor and industry, education, military, veterans affairs, and a lottery. You know, is that all four branches?
I don't know.
Maybe the lottery is a branch of the government now.
It might as well be. But the thing that's amazing about this is that web pages have been hacked, and I use that term very loosely, for almost decades now. It's not a big deal when it happens. You simply fix it, replace it, back it up or whatever, move on. I don't understand how this made headlines. I think there's been more web page hacking in years past than there have been in weeks past. So,
the manual. The best quote in this story, which you might have skipped over, was the woman named Nia Devane. She's the spokeswoman for the Office of Administration, which I guess is part of the executive branch. I heard her on the local news station here saying, and in the story too, that there was, quote, no reason to think anyone's personal data had been compromised or that any damage occurred when a hacker got into what we would say was a back door. There's no reason to think that because they didn't even check, apparently.
Well, let me put it this way. If personal information is stored on a web page accessible to the outside world, you know what? Your information has already been compromised. It doesn't take somebody breaking in and uncovering that to make it a compromised situation. These morons go around putting your data to places. They're the ones that should be prosecuted. They're the ones that should be when this happens. And it's happening all the time. I'm not talking about hacked web pages. I'm talking about data going missing, things winding up on hard drives that get left in cars or on laptops that go missing. They do not take care of the data they're entrusted with. That's the real problem.
Do you have brilliant systems administrators at Sears?
No, I didn't know they had any at Sears.
Well, apparently not. Sears was going to set up this very useful website, apparently, where you could go in and see all your past purchases, and if you do something without a warranty, you could learn all that. And, but the way that you proved you were you was you just entered your name and address, And so anyone could enter anyone's name and address and see all the things they ever bought at Sears.
Whoa. You're saying that all you had to do in this Sears system was enter information that could be found in a phone book, someone's last name and address. That simple. Nothing else? I mean, not even use a zip code identification or anything?
I didn't myself. I just read some news reports about it, but that seemed to be. Maybe you need a zip code. Maybe that's part of the address.
This is from the 1980s, this kind of security manual.
No, this is from 2008. Only a week and a half old, and we've already had it.
I assume by now that must be fixed.
The same day, it was the website was taken down, and they used one of these euphemisms. Like, we've discovered that we really shouldn't have done this in the first place.
Okay, so who's responsible for that? The person who found it or the person who designed it?
The thing is, these companies are so large, but I can't imagine there was anything but a large team of people working on designing this, and somehow none of them noticed this obvious problem with it.
Because the team was so large, they probably didn't even know each other.
Maybe.
Working out of many different offices and things like that. It's some things never change. We're here in 2008. By the way, this is our 20th year.
Huh?
Yeah. Of course, we only did one show in 1988, and it was in October. But still, that's 20 years. Not bad. And the information is still as valid today as it was 20 years ago. There's still so many morons running around securing computer systems and doing a bad job of it. Having our private information simply handed out to anybody interested in looking at it. It's so sad. Now, speaking of websites and domains and things like that, this is a story that I think just hit Flashback today concerning network solutions. There's this site. Apparently, this guy has a blog or something. His name is Bill Hartzer. BillHartzer.com. He has a story called Network Solutions Registering Domains After Availability Lookup. Let me read the first paragraph or so. A friend tipped me off to a domain state thread, I'm not sure what that is exactly, that warns you not to look up a domain name at Network Solutions. Don't look it up at Network Solutions. In other words, don't go to Network Solutions website and do a whois to see if the site is available. If you go there and you look up the domain name to see if it's registered, then Network Solutions, within seconds, will buy the domain name, causing you to have to go buy it from them. So in other words, to explain this, let's say you wanted to register a domain, something on the internet. You would go to this registrar. Network Solutions is one of the registrars. In fact, it used to be the only one. And you enter the name that you're looking for. It says, yes, this name is available. Would you like to register it? Yes or no? If you dare to go to a different registrar, like, say, GoDaddy or something like that, that happens to be much, much cheaper, and that's not an ad for GoDaddy, it's just the fact that Network Solutions tends to be more expensive, you won't be able to register it because Network Solutions will have already reserved it. Apparently, that's their service. They reserve it for you by buying it themselves or somehow putting a temporary block on it. And that's something that is cause for great concern. Apparently, if you look it up through the... I tried this. I actually looked up, oh my God, Network Solutions really sucks.com, and I found that it was available. And then I kept doing a quiz on it to see if it was snatched up by Network Solutions, and throughout the course of today, it was not. So maybe they changed this after this story hit the mass media. I don't know, but what do you guys think of that? You think that's legitimate business practices?
Well, I think it can cost them hundreds of millions of dollars if someone go to script that this time. The way to look up.
Well, make sure you're shaking your head on.
Well, I'm just waiting for the finish before the shooting. There's this relatively new policy called the Bars from Worcester Aid, where you can return a domain within, I think it's a week after you buy it.
Buyer's remorse?
Yeah.
For domain?
Yeah, it's really weird.
So if I register a site and I decide, no, you know, I register that site, I can go back and unregister it?
Yeah, somehow. I've never done it myself.
When did this happen?
It's called the domain tasting.
Domain tasting?
Yes, that's the industry term for that, nomenclature for that particular procedure called domain tasting. You can taste it, and if you decide you don't like it, you can get your fees back or not pay your fees.
I don't like the way this is. Domain tasting.
I'm sorry, this doesn't work for me. Whose idea was this? Is this what Network Solutions is doing, dead casing the domains by grabbing them temporarily?
I mean, I haven't checked, but I would imagine that would be just a business thing.
Well, apparently, they're also selling, I have read that Network Solutions is also selling the data to third parties, indicating which domains are being looked up. And the third parties are paying for this data and then reserving the domain so that right after it's lit on them, they don't have to particular registrar. So a whole lot of shenanigans going on. If this was going on in any other kind of business, they'd be slapped with restraint of trade and all kinds of other illegal violations. But you kind of get away with it, just like Comcast gets away with blocking packets for certain services and things like that. It just happens, and I don't think that the agencies that are supposed to enforce these types of stuff really have their act together enough to act with them.
Well, now, is this something that only Network Solutions can do, or can any registrar engage in the same practices?
They could. I don't know if they have to. The thing is, Network Solutions apparently makes the data available to third parties also about who is running, who is on Network Solutions. So, you know, I could really buy that data from, in real time, from Network Solutions, find out who was doing who is on, oh my god, Network Solutions really sucks.com, and then reserve it and force you to. As opposed to the that's what's going on, I think.
Wow. Okay. Well, never seems to amaze me what companies will get up to. Speaking of shenanigans and weirdness and confusion and things like that, we're on the verge of the cutover for television stations. That's something that I think a lot of people have heard in the background. Now, I understand, Bernie, you had quite an adventure with a website run by the government that supposedly exists to help us with this transition. Next year, by the way. Next year, your television set, well, will they be any good at all, or do you have to subscribe to something in order to watch a signal anymore?
They'll be good, but they won't be good for picking up an analog TV broadcast. You'll have to use a digital television converter, which will convert the digital television broadcast signal, which will be at a different frequency, the digital modulation scheme, and it will convert it to an analog signal that your TV can understand. Much like some of our older listeners will remember, was the case with when UHTV stations were brand new technology. You could buy this. Remember UHF TV converters, Emmanuel?
Yeah, actually, I remember the UHF antennas, little RAM antennas. The converters, were they little boxes that you would put on top of your TV set?
The UHF TVs up until, I think it was the early, late 50s, early 60s. It was an old TV you had in the house, so it didn't, they always got the channel 2 through 13. The FCC allocated UHF frequencies, I think in the late 50s or early 60s. And then for the big market on these UHF TV converters, which would convert the UHF frequencies down to a single UHF frequency, terminals in the back of your TV set, and then have like a UHF loop antenna connected to the UHF converter, which is basically a UHF down converter receiver. And then you get the copy of TV set. And like all the UHF TV channels. This is going to be very similar. Like, it's funny how history keeps repeating itself. Same kind of thing. You're going to have this outboard box about the size of a book.
Uh-huh.
It will convert the new digital TV signals to analog for your old TV to pick it up. And you can get two free government vouchers. For your tax dollars expense, we'll be giving away two $40 vouchers to anybody who applies at dtv2009.gov.
I looked at this site, and it seems to be a very hostile site.
Yeah, I had a lot of trouble registering. I use a PO box for all my mail.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a private kind of person. I didn't let me use a PO box. I also have another address that I use. It's like one of these mailboxes that are kind of crazy. And they wouldn't let me use that address either. So, yeah. Oh, that's a business address.
They keep denying your request for some reason. Now, I'm on it right now, in fact, www.dtv2009.gov. And I'm applying for a coupon. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put George W. Bush, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. This isn't like a federal felony. Is it to be doing this?
It's just going to say you don't think he's already got one.
I don't know.
Wire fraud runs the government.
Without the full website, I think.
I just figured that he could probably use these. I'm not benefiting from this. He's benefiting.
No, he'll be out of a job by the time this happens.
Okay, well then this is for Obama or Hillary or whoever gets in. What's the code down there? 2006, right? Yeah, okay. Number two, check the statement below that best describes your household. All or some of the TVs in my house subscribe to one or more pay services, such as cable or satellite, or none of the TVs in my house subscribe to one or more pay services, such as cable or satellite. I think you have to
click the second one, because if you click the first one, you automatically get converted, so you wouldn't qualify. Coupons requested, one or two, let's just check two. And declaring this is correct.
This is where the wire fraud comes in.
Yeah,
question.
Will you choose all of my TVs or some of my TVs or not my TVs? If you have no TVs, all statements are true.
Yeah, I guess.
So you can pick whatever one you want.
I'm just doing this to scientific purposes. I'll see what happens. Now, I have to enter these words that nobody else can see. A computer apparently can't see this. The words are Israel and Israel. So I'm entering those words.
I'm not
sure
utterances about Israel I'd like to, but I can't
say
them over
the air. See, I'm convinced for some reason it's going to get rejected, so I'm not worried about lying to the website. I'm clicking submit. And it's doing so. Not all the required information was entered correctly. Please review the information below to make sure it is correct and hit submit again.
It does a zip code check, I found.
Cities can only have characters. What does that mean, cities can only have characters? Washington only has characters in it. It's telling me that Washington... You see, there's no code here. City can only have characters. It's right there. It says Washington. There are no numbers in there. You see any numbers?
No.
All right. You want to type it? Maybe do much the way I type it. But you have to move fast because this website times out after like a minute. It's, you know, oh, there's an extra space. Good Lord.
I didn't even have a hit on that. Okay.
So now I'm going to click everything again on submit. Again, not all the required information was entered correctly. Please verify that the address you provided below is correct and submit the application.
This doesn't like looking.
You can certify. There's a button you can certify. I certify that this is correct, even though your stupid program doesn't recognize it as correct.
All right, I'm going to click submit again then and see what happens. See if that actually. Address could not be verified. How could 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest not be verified?
Then you get the wrong zip code.
Okay, well, I think I've demonstrated how difficult the system is. What happens if you certify something? I won't take that final step and certify.
Well, I did, and it just says, okay, you believe me now, and then it gives you a confirmation number, which you should print out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say in a couple of months, you get... it was going to be a coupon, but now they're going to do it as an electronic debit card. If you have a Visa or MasterCard debit card,
mm-hmm.
you can use it any one of about 100 different electronic retailers, like Circuit City or Best Buy. And you can buy one of these converters with one of these cards. Now, converters are supposed to cost $50 After the $40, one of the towards that. And the rule is, if it costs less than $40, you don't get any change back. But that's how it works. So I encourage everybody listening to go to dtv2009.gov and get your free radio receiver. It's a couple of free radios. Well, I mean, they're radio receivers that receive there's no. I don't think there's any law against selling them after you get them. So, you know, you could afford them, and maybe you could even afford them. Whatever.
Uh-huh. And this is not based on income or anything like that, anybody who's qualified to this, right?
Anybody who swears on the website that they don't subscribe to cable television or satellite television, in which case you would need one of these converters because you're not relying on analog broadcast.
So what if you decide that you don't want cable television or satellite in the future? Should you not have one of these things on standby in case you need it?
That's a really good question. Mm-hmm. They didn't think that far ahead. So, as I said, everybody should really get there now, because you never know when you might need it.
Your cable company could go out of business, or you could violate the terms of your contract with them, and they could ban you from using their service. No, anything's possible. It's going to be madness in a year. I'm looking forward to this. February of next year?
Yep.
Okay, it's going to be because all of a sudden people are going to realize, oh my God, my TV doesn't work quite the way it used to anymore. And,
it doesn't work at all.
Yeah. I can hardly wait. All right, speaking of technological advances, Al-Qaeda video messages of Osama bin Laden Hawaii can now be downloaded to cell phones. This is amazing. Terror Network announced this. The Terror Network just happened to announce. Oh, by the way, to help our patrons, you can now download videos directly to your cell phone of our terrorist leaders.
Put out a press release or something?
Apparently, they're the press conference. I don't know. I'm not sure how this exactly works. But this is part of their attempt to extend it. You know, if Al-Qaeda is able to do these things, and, you know, we have an access. We can't do this. We can't download things to cell phones. They haven't figured that out.
I don't think they've ever downloaded a video.
I think that's an indication that we need to do a better job. When terrorist organizations actually have the time to develop this technology and be able to send messages to very specific devices like this, you know, those of us not engaging in martyrdom and terrorism and various things like that, we have more time to devote to this. So I think this is a wake-up call. Anyway,
we should warn our listeners, if you're in a federal building where you have to before you get in, don't have the Osama bin Laden or Al-Qaeda running on your cell phone when you hand it to the federal detective officer. Don't do that.
They never tell you exactly how to get this information. It's just, you know, information that they say they know about. Like, for instance, they say the announcement was posted on Friday by Al-Qaeda's media wing, by Islamic militant. Now, that's all the details they give. And sometimes we think we found one, but we're not sure if this is, in fact, a website used by Islamic militants. We're constantly looking for it, constantly. You have to know, I guess. You have to know in advance in order to be able to download Osama to your cell phone. That's the priority. To get to your cell phone. Unreal. That's the latest in the news of technology. And over at the airport, this is always fun. They're watching Russia as you go through various lines with a pair of Transportation Security Administration officers going to a CPAC, that's in Seattle, CPAC airport ticket counter, wish you happy holidays, and ask for your traveling. It might be more than just Christmas spirit.
No, wait a second. If some random people stroll by and say to me, happy holidays to where you're traveling, I'm not going to be like, why? I'm traveling. You know, I'm not going to be polite to them.
Apparently, that's okay. You can do that.
Uh-huh.
It's how you react that they're looking. They're looking at your facial reactions, not so much your answers. Now, this is called the SPOT program, Screening Passengers by Observation Technique, and it's considered an indicator of possible terrorist intent. It's to recognize microfacial expressions, microfacial. A flash of feeling that in a fraction of a second reflects emotions such as fear, anger, surprise, or contempt. Yeah, contempt. That's, I think, what I'm going to do, Charles, for showing contempt in my face when I'm asked stupid questions. In the SPOT program, we have a conversation with passengers, and we ask them about their trip. When someone lies or tries to be deceptive, there are behavior cues that show it, a brief flash of fear. Such people are referred to for secondary screening, which can include a pat-down search and an x-ray exam. The microfacial expressions are the same across many cultures. Since January 2006, behavior detection officers have referred about 70,000 people to secondary screening. Of
arrested on a variety of charges, including possession of weapons violations and outstanding warrants. Now, here's how it goes. So, simple question. How are you today? Where are you heading? Is this all your property? Now, they say it's almost irrelevant what the answers are. It's more relevant how you respond. Vague, evasive response. Here it says itself. When you do this long enough, you see it right away. Ordinary people who are feeling anxious are much more open with their body movements and their facial expressions as compared to, say, an operational terrorist. I've got to see the change. There isn't the behavior indicators that show a certain level of stress, fear of anxiety, above and beyond that shown by the traveling public. Unreal. Man, this is something kind of scary. What do you think, Brian?
Well, I think that Department of Homeland Security or the Transportation Security Administration part of grossly underestimates the tradecraft of terrorist organizations. These people are highly trained. They do dry runs. They practice. Tradecraft is all about poker face things. So I think they're only interested really in passing the people that they've already caught, such as those who possess drugs or were wanted on outstanding warrants. This article in the Battle Place Intelligence says that their success rate is less than 1% in detaining anybody, or pulling up beside anybody and detaining them. And of that 1%, nobody was detained on just on stuff like the possessed drugs or had an outstanding warrant for an overdue library book or something like that. So, That's really what this is all about. It's just more of a dragnet, I think, and they're really taking into account the tradecraft that the real terrorists obviously are trained to exercise.
Well, they'll point to, 600 to 700,
what were they, arrest?
Is it detaining people? You think that's a mark of success?
600 to 700 people were arrested on a variety of charges, drugs, weapons violations, and outstanding warrants. The weapon violations, that stuff should be screened by the people going through your bags when your bags go through the X-ray machine anyway. So, I don't see how this is helping anything really. Other than just drag getting deep, it's not for Homeland Security, is what I'm saying. It's not for Homeland Security. It's about, just trying to draft people up and see what go on a fishing expedition and see what they got.
Yeah, I think you're trying to say the point that we're constantly making about how, as you say, it's not about Homeland Security. It's more about just getting people trained to always be accepting of interrogation and to always feel like they're a suspect and that they're constantly in danger of something evil going on. And we just did a lot of traveling. Mike and I were going back and forth from various countries. What kind of story did you see on the way back, Mike?
Well, I screamed three times on my flight back from Germany. I was screaming in Germany. I was in Europe. Take off your shoes in Germany.
You don't have to take off your shoes in Germany, and I didn't have to take off my shoes either
when I came to Heathrow. I was made to at Heathrow, and they make you be scanned again at Heathrow, just because a man, apparently, if you're going to the United States, you have to be screened a third time, still at Heathrow, twice at Heathrow. They don't have any machines, they just pat you down, they told me they select 20% of the people, and I was one of them, and it was very unpleasant. I was very open with my contempt at that point.
There was no doubt in my eyes. The final, I don't know if we had the same terminals or anything like that. We took separate flights. But basically, the last terminal that I went in, was just screening process. You waited online to get into the terminal. And excuse me, my plane was already 2 hours late. I was kind of annoyed by that at that point. They were 2 hours late because they didn't have enough staff for the airline. And, to me, that means that it's their fault, and they can do something about it. Instead, they leave us in Heathrow, where, guess what? They don't take euros. Actually, they do take euros, but they don't take any coin below an actual euro in value. They can't use 50 cent pieces or anything like that.
and they give you a bad exchange rate.
So they don't take American credit cards. They took the
chip money.
Did they?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
I thought of you.
I was trying to get a bagel, and it wasn't working out.
Apparently bagels are different than
well, these. All right, fine. But the point is, they should have done something because it was their fault that I was stuck in the damn airport for 4 hours, because I already had a two-hour layover, and they added another 2 hours to it. So by the time I got to that final security point, I was in a bit of a bad mood, as it is, and we had to wait on a very long line, and it split up into two sections. People on the left got screened, the people on the right did not get screened, and the people on the left were Arabs and black people, literally. Nobody else was over there.
But you got something like that. Maybe yours is different. But in my particular case, it's just I was able to predict this person's going to get screened, this person will not get screened. I was 100% right. I've never asked before. And that is just maybe they use racial profiling in England a lot more flagrantly than they do here, but it was really kind of a question.
Well, I got to know.
Uh-huh. And
well,
you do what kind of Arabic?
Mm-hmm.
And they told me that
you're not supposed to do that. When you argue with
you're
them.
Wearing the burqa, aren't you?
Don't tell us that on the radio.
That might have been what did.
But they told me that this was at the behest of the U.S. government, that not the U.S.
You particularly get to
know that the whole point was going on.
Uh-huh.
And she told me if I didn't like it, I should write a letter to the Department of Homeland Security.
In her British accent, she said that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, a lot of people working there apparently don't like it either, but they're just doing their job, and I've heard that many times before.
Well, I told her if she should write a letter to the Department of Homeland Security, it would have much more weight than my letter, but she didn't seem into that.
Well, do you think she didn't like it, or that she just...
I don't really know.
Hmm. Security is crazy, as it is, especially if you go through England. But yeah, as you said, in Germany, it was a lot more low-key, like everything else seems to be. I don't know why. Sometimes you go through a security checkpoint and you make the thing beep, and other times you go through and it doesn't beep, and you're not doing anything differently. Sometimes your belt clip can do it. Sometimes it beeps. I don't know. Sometimes I think it just beeps because they can make it beep on will.
Anyway,
all right, so that's it on airline security for now. We have a special treat for the listeners, that courtesy of our friend Lynn, who sent us this package in the mail. It is an LP record. Yes, a vinyl record. We have not had
a what?
Long play record. It's one of the new things coming out these days. It looks like a CD, except it's much bigger.
I guess it can hold more data.
Look at the size of this thing. Isn't something
else orange?
And, yeah, and we have a special machine set up to play this. Now, this actually has a label. It's only one side. Not two-sided record. It's a one-sided record. This is from 1968. And it's labeled, I don't know where Lynn got this, October Bedroom Promotion Extension Spot.
You know, I didn't even know they had the drill recording in 1958.
Yeah, you know, it might not. And in handwriting, it says New York Telephone above that.
Huh.
Cuts 1 through 4, announcement number 2, 7360, I think it's 60 seconds each. Talent retained required for use after this date. Okay, so it is after December 15, 1958, so we will have to find the talent and retain them. But first, what I'll have to do is find a turntable. Here's a turntable over here. We have no clue if this is going to work, because I have not used these turntables in years. In fact, Mike, can you help me over here? Because it's further away from the microphone than I can reach. And I noticed the top of the turntable is cracked, so I'm afraid if I lift it. Does it even come up? All right, be careful. I don't want to break it. Now, I'm going to place the record onto the phonograph, like this. Okay, you got the thing for the holder. And then you have this, let me move the microphone over. They really took it far away, didn't they? On the turntable like that. Okay, the needle is on the turntable. Now, that's only the beginning. I have to find on the board where the turntable comes up. Okay, I think I found it. That would be position C. All right, now, the first button. Maybe that'll make the turntable start right away. No, it's not. So I guess I have to go over here and hit the power button. Oh, here we go. There's that noise.
They said no common thought, it's going to be low and tall.
It's only a week away. And a tension falls in your bedroom. Such a useful, such a beauty every day.
It's colorful and bright, it's the beauty of life.
It's only a week away.
Your bedroom is even more than just a step-saving convenience. More than just a comfortable sense of security it brings to you at night. A low-cost bedroom phone is a wonderful feeling of better living. An extra touch of elegance and luxury. Why not order one for your bedroom? In color. And if you prefer, with a handy built-in nightlight. From your Bell Telephone business office.
It's handy, low in cost. No time or extra cost.
Oh, wow, that's... All right, let's turn this off. That's awesome. Wow. I'm going to get one of those now. What? Yeah,
kind of telephone?
Well, yeah, you can have them in your bedroom. You can now have an extension phone in your bedroom and improve the quality. With a nightlight. I don't know how you do that. But yeah, they used to have these nightlights powered by the phone, right? Really, it's great. We have a couple more of these now. They sound like they're from the 20s, actually. Not from the 50s. I don't know how it gets so stuck. Let me hit the button again. All right. Hopefully another one will come up in a second. Well, you know what? This might be one of those records where you could make the band in between tracks not advanced. So it was just like play forever, like it was at the end of the record. You have to physically go and lift up the needle and move it like a millimeter. Otherwise, we just do this forever. The record is still at the beginning, but it's after the first cut. Bernie, are you familiar with this technology?
Yes. The groove would not be spiral. It would just sort of be an endless loop of silence until you moved it to the next track.
Well, this is hardly silence, but yeah, I think that's what's going on. It's just endlessly moving around, and this will happen for the rest of the show. Maybe Mike goes over there and fixes it.
I don't know if I know how to work these things, but
yeah, give it your best shot. Have you ever operated a phonograph? Where's your microphone? There it is. Go ahead.
I have, actually.
You have? Okay. Yeah. I wonder how many people have not. A lot of people have not handled rotary phones. So make sure you get it right. You don't want to do it in the beginning of the year.
They set no common thought, it's going to be low and cost.
It's only a reach away. And it can't get in your bedroom. It's just a useful, such a beauty every day.
It's kind of bright,
it's
beautiful.
It's only a reach away.
An extension telephone in your bedroom is even more than just a step-saving convenience. More than just a comfortable sense of security it brings to you at night. A low-cost bedroom phone is a wonderful feeling of better living. An extra touch of elegance and luxury that will make your day. Why not order one for your bedroom in color? And if you prefer, with a handy built-in nightlight. From your Bell Telephone business office.
It's handy, low and cost. No time or effort.
Okay, now that one obviously emphasized more the security aspects of having an extension phone in your bedroom, and I think that's something that might be of particular relevance today for people concerned about what might be going on outside their house. Have an extension phone, it'll make you feel very secure. Nothing compares to the insecurity you feel when you do not have a phone within reach. Am I correct, Bernie?
Yes, they also seem to re-emphasize that something in your bedroom is only a reach away. So I wonder what they were thinking, really.
Two more. But Mike, you have to go over and do this again, because it's still
learning new skills here.
Well, there's only two more to go, so you might want to just stay over there and get the last two out of the way. By the way, our phone number is 212-209-2900. We're going to take some phone calls if you have any comments or things to say about various other issues, or this issue too. Ready to go? What's moving?
Okay. They set no time across, it's low and tall.
It's only a reach away. And it can't jump on me, but you can't be useful, that's the beauty of the day.
It's cold and bright, it's dirty as night.
It's only a reach away.
An extension telephone in your bedroom is even more than just a step-saving convenience. More than just the comfortable sense of security it brings to you at night. A low-cost bedroom phone is a wonderful feeling of better living. An extra touch of elegance and luxury that will make your day. Why not order one for your bedroom in color? And if you prefer, with a handy built-in nightlight from your Dell telephone business office.
It's handy, low and cost. No time or effort lost.
I'm starting to suspect, are we hearing the same one over and over again?
We are hearing the same one over and over.
Was the second one the same as the first? Because I didn't remember the security thing on the first one.
I remember the security thing on the first one.
Good. So are we actually playing the same thing? Why does it have the same thing four times on one record?
Maybe Mike is not.
Mike is changing it because I see the needle moving up each time. Mike, I'll be clear on the last one, so this time we'll talk over it so that we don't waste time playing the same damn thing four times and we'll just hear in the back of our heads if, in fact, it's the same. Yeah, make as much noise as the needle as possible can. It's an LP from the 50s. I guess maybe they put four of the same thing on one side in case they scratched it.
You said the one of them was scratched in the other.
Well, it was until the scratch. I bet many people in the New York area driving in their cars are humming this tune right now.
I don't know if you want to buy a phone.
Yeah, well, you couldn't buy this phone now, Kevin. You had to rent it from the phone company.
Obviously.
What kind of communist thinking is that? Buy a phone. Lease it from
the phone. All right. It's even more.
Yeah, he's saying the same thing.
It's more than just a comfortable thing.
Well, you know, it's good. It's good.
But I kind of wish it was
a different one. It's a wonderful feeling of better living. It's a touch of elegance and luxury.
All right. 213-209. Telephone number.
Look,
it's a
nightlight.
See who's out there.
There actually is one other story I'd just like to get to, and we'll get to the phone. We have a
phone. That's really at the end of the record.
Okay, let's turn that down. Wow. It's just another phone call.
There's nothing else around here, guys.
No, it's not true.
The microphones work.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, hopefully the phones work.
That turntable has probably not been maintained in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
The CD players, if they're not maintaining that amount of time, they don't work.
Oh, that's true as well. So,
Sigley Technology cell phone silencer and passport protector bag takes Hollywood by storm.
Well, I'm actually reading this press release in case you can't tell. A simple bag that blocks your cell phone from ringing and protects your passport from identity theft was featured at the Hollywood Bag Ladies Designer Handbag Auction, sponsored by Lupus at the Beverly Hills Wilshire Hotel this November.
Took up a while to get this story.
What a lovely gift for the person who has everything.
This is both elegant and practical, said Lupus L.A. honoree Dorothy Ellis.
See, nothing funny about this,
right? It's very true.
I'm going to take a lot of time to write this. You can really listen to it. The technology cell phone silencer and passport protector bag, a convenient, stylish, handmade designer bag which stops your cell phone from ringing at inopportune moments. Just slip your cell phone in the Figley phone bag and receptionist walks. The silver bag serves as a black hole as the radio waves, and I should stress that they capitalize the R&W in radio waves, as well as you should, cannot penetrate the metallic threads. When you take your phone out of the bag, the phone immediately regains reception, allowing you to view your missed calls. No. What are these people on? It doesn't work. It blocks the signal. How do you see your missed calls? That doesn't make any sense. No. Anyway, they say no more missing important messages or fussing with turning on and off the ringer.
It's blocking reception, which means that it's not just blocking the ring. There's no magic bag that'll just silence your phone unless you encase it in lead or something and have soundproofing installed. It's a good idea. You know, this is actually a nice thing for people that can't figure out how to turn off their phone completely. Can't go into silent mode. They can stick it in this bag that's encased in various materials to prevent signals from getting through.
Emmanuel.
Yes.
It's worth pointing out that this is a really good way to kill your cell phone battery too. At least drain it, because your phone will, while it's on but unable to pick up any of the tower signals, will valiantly keep trying to send out "here I am" type signals, trying to establish a connection to the network. And in doing so, it uses up much more power in sending out that beacon signal over and over and over again for as long as you have it in the bag. So be prepared when you pull your phone out of that bag after it's been there for a few hours for the battery to be on its last leg.
Well, just as a point of information, I've noticed
that particular circumstance,
but only with CDMA phones, only with, say, Verizon Wireless or Sprint PCS. I have not noticed the same phenomenon with GSM carriers like T-Mobile or AT&T. You think it's they have a different way of sending out the signal?
I've heard that. I use a CDMA phone from Sprint PCS, and I experience that problem if I'm in a underground or something for more than a couple of hours. If my battery keeps dropping, it probably keeps trying to get a signal. No, I just turn it off. But you're right. I've heard that it's not affecting GSM users. So there must be something different about that technology that doesn't make your phone keep trying to reach the network. It just gives up, I guess, after a while.
Okay, let's take some phone calls. 202-209-2900. Let's go over. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I've
loved
those
things.
Off the Hook commercials.
Aren't they great?
Except that they're a bit about doing it in the bedroom. Well, the one phone you have in the bedroom, because when I grew up and I was a teenager in those years, the one phone was in the bedroom because he lives in a railroad flat, and the maximum distance from both ends of the railroad flat was 2 rooms to get to that
room. Wow. And of course, you leased that phone from the phone company.
That's right, yeah.
Did you ever consider getting another phone?
Never. Not until they changed their whole business setup.
Do you, in fact, sir, still have a ready-to-go phone?
Yes, I do.
You do? How did I know that? You're not using it now, are you?
I don't use it, no.
Oh, okay.
But I came up on the early touchstone phones because those wonderful gold contacts were probably the most reliable. I'd hate to give that up for chicken line.
Well, those are the days, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, one phone company and one network. A lot of fun to explore.
Yeah, all except it costs you money to get a long distance.
That's true. If you did it that way. Any other comments?
Nothing else besides that. Love your show and hope you pick it up.
Thanks. And where are you calling from?
From the great state of Brooklyn.
Okay, great.
All right, take it
easy. Take care. All right, 212-209-2900.
And good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Thank you. Controversial, but kind of point we like to make here on this radio station.
Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Show.
How you doing?
I was just going to ask you quickly, do you own your little that German car or do you lease it?
You're talking about the smart car?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's German, it's European, but no, I own that. Well, I own it to some other people, but it's Canadian, but
it is?
Yes. That's because before this year, smart cars
have
existed. I understand this year they exist in this country. I've yet to see them driving around. Apparently you can now buy them in the States.
When I was in Germany a year and a half ago, they said I couldn't, it would be too costly to send it here, and I said, let me change the subject, because I'm not interested enough.
All right.
I saw this program on an English car, much smaller than your little car, and made by Wendy by Magnetic Energy. Do you know of it? It was on one of the science channels.
I've always heard about cars like that. I'm not particularly which one you're.
Designed
them and they showed them what would be easy. I'd like to think we'll be having those, but there are always people and companies and institutions that sort of stand in the way of that because it might lessen our dependence on oil. So,
well, I'd like to forget about the oil, believe me,
but unfortunately, the people who run.
What is your oil?
Well, my name's on diesel, but it runs
on... Is it cost-free or
no, okay? It's not cost-free because it runs on very little. And,
one of these days, I want to see one here. I haven't seen any here, but you said through Canada, maybe you could get...
Well, no, you can get that one through Canada. That one's a diesel car, but the other ones will be gas, and they'll be available in this country.
I don't want that.
I guess then you'll have to try the Canadian solution. But thanks for your call, and thanks for reminding me that they're coming to the States this year. You are on Off the Hook.
Hi. You know, it has recently become more difficult to hear WBAI in Brooklyn and Queens. There's a pirate on 99.3 now.
Is there?
Yeah, and normally I don't really mind pirates as long as they stay on their channel.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is not staying on his channel.
Tell us something about the station. What kind of...
I really don't know. I mean, it's Caribbean music. I'm trying to hear BAI, so I'm trying to... Luckily, I have a radio that has a regular analog dial, so I can, turn... My main radio only goes by 0.2, so I can only go 99.5 and 0.7.
Uh-huh.
So that's a little too far away. Luckily, my analog radio has come to the rescue.
Well, guys, it looks like we might have to pay another visit to a pirate radio station out there in the world. We've done this before. We've tracked them down, and we've given them a little warning, not on behalf of the FCC, but on behalf of the station, saying, move it somewhere else.
Just fellowship. Stay on your channel, and everything will be all right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, nobody will get hurt, but this is not acceptable. 99.5, you don't mess with that frequency. Not in this city.
Exactly.
All right.
So
it's
on the Brooklyn Green Quarter.
Brooklyn Green Quarter. We'll check it out.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to see him on that right away. And good evening. You are off the hook.
Great. I just tried finding out about the GTV 2009. They had the same by computer.
Uh huh.
And.
Oh, okay.
And they had a name and my address, even though I have the phone number blocking thing in place on my phone. They knew who I was. And I ordered a couple of coupons, even though I admitted some of my TVs might have a cable. They still allowed me to get a couple of coupons. And then I tried to put them back to see if I could amend my application to ask for just one coupon. I made several attempts, and I found out that I could not.
Both
in
the coupons
and they expire,
but it is first come, first served, and they're expecting
to run out.
Yeah.
I see.
I have that toll free number if anybody is.
Okay, what
is
the phone number?
It's 888-2009. That's 888-2009.
DTV 2009.
Yeah. So
I'll
call you
back tonight.
That's what the number says, DTV 2009?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, that's clever. Thanks for the information.
You're welcome.
All right, and that's going to do it for us as far as phone calls tonight. This rather sad note, guy named Liam O'Gallagher, I don't think we're familiar with this name. We've played him maybe on this radio show, maybe on another radio show, who knows. Painter and teacher, his San Francisco studio became an early gathering place for students and poets in the 1950s. He died December 4th at the age of 90. And, he did this piece years ago, maybe back in the 70s or something. Called an audio space. And we played this on the other radio show, Off the Wall. If you go back to November 2005, you might find the entire piece. We're going to play some of it going out tonight. Basically, this guy sat in a studio in Berkeley, California, and tried to get the phone number from long-distance operators to use all around the country. And fascinating study of the phone system back then, and the way things sounded and how they sounded differently. Thank you for our show. Yes, go ahead, Brian, quickly.
Can I make a very brief announcement?
Very quickly. Go ahead.
On Tuesday, January 15th at 7:30, the New York Civil Liberties Union will be having a behavior-free forum for Real ID Act in New York State.
Okay.
It's Tuesday, January 15th at 7:30 p.m.
I don't know why you're echoing myself. All right, thanks for that. And here is
Okay, now the CD players. Now,
the United States. The United States and Canada. One local operator for local
Thank you, operator.
That enzymes require 10 enzymes or close to trying to work. 10 enzymes.